Is my voice predicting satisfactorily? It's a little hoarse. I too have been troubled with this business that's going around. And it's a lingering sort of respiratory thing. It stays a good 10 days to 2 weeks. So you will excuse me for any discrepancy in the voice. Genesis, please, chapter 1. We have been studying the days of creation and seeking to apply the lessons learned to ourselves based on Bible characters in the book of Genesis. Book of Genesis chapter 1, please, and verse 9. God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth. The gathering together of the waters he called seas. God saw that it was good. And that's as far as we'll go. Next time, we'll go from verses 11 through 13. Waters and dry land. Separation. The land was completely covered by water. God said, "Let the waters be one place, and let the dry land appear." And that is our lesson for today. Separation. Separation as seen in Noah. Turn to chapter 6, please. Separation as seen in Noah. Chapter 6, verse 1. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And we're not going to go into this verse. There are so many ideas as to who were the sons of God and the daughters of men. Let that be. But verse 3, God said, "My spirit will not forever strive with man. He is also flesh. His days shall be 120. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men which were of old men of renown." And we're not going to go into that verse. Those are difficult verses. Who were the daughters of men? Who were the sons of God? And so forth. Verse 5. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Do you know any situation like that? Anybody? Pretty much describes what we see in the world today. It repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. Now remember, we looked into this matter of God repenting. It isn't that God changed his mind, it's that man changed his behavior, and as his behavior changed, a just God must act according to his change of behavior. The Lord said, verse 7, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air. It repenteth me that I have made them." But, oh, I like this. Remember what we saw. Every imagination and great wickedness was in the earth. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Separation. Beloved, we do not have to be influenced by what we see around. Because they behave one way, that doesn't mean we have to behave the same way. And for you younger folks, They talk about peer pressure. You're under peer pressure. Believers, you're not under peer pressure. No unbeliever is your peer. So don't tell me that you the peers. An unbeliever is not your peer. Now that doesn't mean that you're better than the unbeliever. But I'll tell you a little secret. You're better off. Verse 8. In the midst of all this wickedness, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Notice what we read about Noah. Noah was a righteous man, in spite of all the wickedness around. Upright. A man of integrity, decency, and moral rectitude. You don't have to behave like the folks on the outside. And he walked with God. And despite the wickedness on every hand, it is possible, and every believer should walk with God. Just for 1 minute, turn with me to chapter 5, please. Verse 20. All the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. Anybody been walking 300 years with God? Imagine that. A man on earth walking with God 300 years. Enoch walked with God. And if you want to know what the world was like when he walked with God, we won't turn now. You turn to the book of Jude. And four times in describing the days of Enoch, we read ungodly, 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 ungodly. Would you say that generally speaking, people are ungodly? I didn't say religious. Are people ungodly in the world today, generally speaking? They were ungodly in Enoch's day, but he walked with God. The behavior of the people on the outside is no excuse. We should walk with God. We come back to chapter 6, verse 9. Noah walked with God. Now, verse 11. What were the days like when Noah lived? We already see that the imaginations of the hearts of men were wicked, and there was wickedness throughout the earth. Verse 11. When Noah walked with God, the earth was corrupt. Is it today? Is there corruption in this earth today? Is there corruption in this nation today? We continue. The earth was corrupt before God and filled with violence. Is that true? That's why the police officers tell you, young ladies, don't walk alone at night. In fact, don't even go out of your house at night. Violence. Corruption. And violence. Yet Noah walked with God. And despite the corruption and violence on the outside, God expects us to walk with him. God looked down, verse 12, upon the earth. Again we get the same word. It was corrupt. All flesh had corrupted his way before the Lord. God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. The earth is filled with violence. Corruption, violence, wickedness, and yet Noah walked with God. What else characterized the days of Noah? Luke chapter 17, please. Luke chapter 17. When Noah lived, the earth was corrupt. There was much violence. And Luke 17, we see what else characterized the days of Noah. But in spite of these things, he walked with God. And if I say no more, that's the lesson. We are to walk with God in spite of the conditions on the outside. Don't say the world is so bad I can't help myself. Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. And every believer should walk with God. And to those of you that are younger, some in school and so forth, don't do what the other fellow does, as I said, talking about peer pressure. He is not your peer. If you are a believer, you walk with God in spite of all that you see around. But let's see what else characterized the days of Noah. Luke chapter 18. Verse 26. The Lord is speaking. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of Son of Man. What did they do in the days of Noah? They did eat. Are they doing that today? And they eat such strange and bizarre things. I believe I told you this before, but I remember, oh, this must have been maybe 25 years ago. We had, among both of us that worked together, one fellow, and he liked exotic foods. And one day he came, he said to me, "Garnes, I was down at Wanamaker's and I got something real good." "What did you get?" I asked. And he showed me a jar of pickled ants. They did eat. They're eating today. They drank. Are they drinking today? Sharon says yes. She's right, they're drinking today. Can you imagine that you have to tell people, if you drink, don't drive? I mean, your common sense should tell you that. And the more they tell them, the more they drink. And the more accidents. They did eat. They drank. They married wives. And they were given in marriage. What's the difference between marrying a wife and given in marriage? I've been looking it up. I can't find a satisfactory answer, so I'll give you my answer. Divorce and remarriage, giving in marriage. Not married, giving in marriage. I understand that one of the erudite ladies who appears on TV from time to time has disposed of four husbands and is looking for a fifth. And that other beauty out there, Taylor is her name. What is she on, the ninth? They did the same thing in Noah's day. They ate, they drank, they married, they gave in marriage. There was wickedness, there was corruption, there was violence. The same as today. But Noah walked with God. Upright. What characterized Noah? He was separate from those around. And that's the lesson, I believe, of the third day. When the waters were separated from the earth, the thought of separation. Now, when it comes to separation, all scriptural separation has three aspects. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. All scriptural separation has three aspects. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verses 9 and 10. Separation. And that's our subject today. They themselves show of us what manner of entering we had in unto you. How? Now, you turned to God from idols to serve. All separation is to, from, and for. So I ask you, beloved, whom are you separated to? Luke chapter 10. Whom are you separated to? Luke chapter 10, verses 39 and 40, well-known verses. Separation. To, for, and from. Luke chapter 10. We know the story well, so we'll only take the last two verses there, 41 and 42. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, you are careful, upset, and bothered about many things, but one thing is needful. One thing is needful. Now, look at your Bibles, because I'm going to read this wrong. I'm going to read it the way most people read it. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the better part, which shall not be taken away from her. How did I read it wrong? Did it say better part? Good part. She chose the good part. It wasn't a question of good, better, and best. She chose the good part. Does that mean that Martha chose the bad part and that nobody should cook and help? No. But there is a good part above all else. Mary chose that part. She was separated to the Lord. Close to the Lord. John chapter 13, please. Separation to the Lord. John chapter 13, verse 23. And I ask again, beloved, how close are you to the Lord? 13 and 23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Chapter 21. Verses 20 and 21. John chapter 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? You follow me. Now, this disciple that leaned on the breast of Jesus, nowhere do I get the impression that Jesus says, come and lean on my breast. He did it voluntarily. I ask with the hope. We are separated to the Lord. How close are we to him? When was the last time you rested on his breast? We have, as many of you know, the second great grand in the family. He was with us all day yesterday. And to see him rest on his mother's breast, it's a beautiful thing. He might be crying, complaining, but when she put his head against her breast, all noise ceased. I ask, beloved, how close are you to the Lord, and when is the last time you rested on his breast? With all the cares, all the problems, all the difficulties in the world, when is the last time you rested on his breast? The disciple whom Jesus loved rested on the breast of the Lord, separated to the Lord. I don't know if that hymn is in our book, but it's close to thee. Let me walk. Close to thee, is it in there?
Yes, sir.
Fine. I'll take out 2 minutes at the end so we can sing close to thee. There is a danger. Read with me, please, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Separated to the Lord. Genesis 3 verse 8, they, Adam and Eve, heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Isn't that nice? A nice cool afternoon, and there is God coming out to meet with them for a nice walk. Romantic, isn't it? Nothing wrong with romance. Not a thing wrong with it. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees. They weren't very close to it. And they didn't want to get very close. And they didn't feel fit to be very close. Beloved, let nothing come between us and the Lord so that we get close. Be very, very close. Separation to the Lord. Read with me, please, in Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17 and verse 8. We've gone through this before. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Then came Amalek. Now, keeping that place, turn with me, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 25. Then came Amalek. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 17. Remember what Amalek did unto you by the way when you were come forth from Egypt. Remember what Amalek did. Now, the way to understand Scripture and to be filled by Scripture is to refer to Scripture. Read the next verse. He met thee by the way and smote the rear guard, the stragglers, the hindmost of thee. Those that were straggling, those are the ones that Amalek met. We need to keep close to the Lord, separated to the Lord. You remember the case with Peter? Oh Lord, I won't deny thee. We won't turn to it for the sake of time, but you remember what happened. Peter followed afar. When you follow afar, you're headed for trouble. Keep close to Jesus. Then we read that Peter sat down. Psalm 1. Don't sit with the scornful. And what was the next thing he did? He literally fell down. He lay behind the Lord. We need to keep close to the Lord. Separated to the Lord. The next, separated from. And here again, let us read John chapter 15. I know we know this almost from memory. Separation from. Separation from the world. John chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. We talked about this recently. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, beloved, we are not of the world. And don't try to fit in there so as to lose your identity. I've seen that too often. Believers who don't want to look too different and they want to fit in. Don't fit in. You're not of the world. You don't belong in the world. You're not of the world. If you were of the world would love you. because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated. When the Lord saved us, he chose us out of the world. Separation from. Chapter 17, please. Verse 14. There was a dear brother, Brother Dugan, and he claimed, well, it was his opinion, that whenever you read John chapter 17, which is truly the Lord's Prayer, you should read the whole thing. But I'm not going to do that. He's in heaven. He will look down and hear and see what I'm doing. John chapter 17, verse 14, the Lord says, I have given them thy word, and the world hates them, because they are not of the world. Beloved, we are not of the world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Was the Lord Jesus Christ of the world? He was in it, but he was separated from the world. You know how they complain? This man eateth with sinners. And yet when I turn to Hebrews, I read he was separate from sinners. God doesn't want us so separated from the world that we're up in a monastery somewhere. What good is that man in a monastery to the sinner down here who needs to hear the word of the Lord? We are to be in the world, but not of the world. And this you've heard me say before. You notice when a surgeon goes to operate, he puts on gloves. Now, these are special gloves, you see. Why do you think a surgeon wears gloves? He wants contact. But he doesn't want contamination. He doesn't want the illness that the patient has. Contact without contamination. And that is to be our position in the world. We're separate from the world, but we're in it. Contact without contamination. And I believe I might have told you this at some time. We had have a good friend. He's a vascular surgeon. And one day in the course of operating, the needle pricked his finger, and he wasn't aware. That happens. That's very easy to happen. Well, how wouldn't he feel it? When you're there working, you don't feel any little needle prick. But the patient had a blood disease. He was pricked by the needle that passed through the patient's blood and was sick for 6 weeks. We as believers want contact with the ungodly without contamination. Book of Jude, please. Now the verse that I'm going to read, verses 22 and 23, read differently in different Bibles by different translators. Read them all. Jude, verses 22 and 23. On some have mercy who are in doubt, and save some, snatching them out of the fire. On some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And when we're talking to the ungodly, especially to the sex and whatnot, be careful that you don't get contaminated. It's a real danger to become contaminated by their false teaching and then become confused, lose our communion with the Lord, and our joy. Contact without contamination. I like this little poem. You've heard it. All the water in the world, however hard it tried, could never, never sink a ship unless it got inside. Is that correct? There's been much talk about the Titanic. What do you think the Titanic sank? Water got inside. And beloved, if we allow the world inside, we're going to sink too. Separation from, contact, but not contamination. my first great-grandson. He is a lover of, was it Toys R Us? Is that the name of the store? Yeah, Toys R Us. He recognizes that store just as he recognizes McDonald's. Wherever he sees it, he knows McDonald's and Toys R Us. Always wants to go into Toys R Us. Well, now the next time, beloved, that you go to Toys R Us, go in there and buy the smallest boat that you can find. Right? Not a big one, get a little one. It won't cost as much. Get the smallest boat that you can find and go out here to the Potomac River. I may not be pointing in the right direction, but you go out to the Potomac River and put that little boat on the Potomac River. And everything will go well until water gets in the boat. And it's the same way with us as believers. We are in the world, but not of the world. We are to be separated from the world. The world is not to come into us. Now, we can't take time to look at it now, but that was the trouble with the church in Thyatira in Revelation chapter 2. They got the world in the church. And there's much of the world still in the church today. We recently had Christmas holiday. Do you know what's the big trouble with Christmas? We've got all the barbarians and whatnot in the church. And that's what Christmas is about. In the will of the Lord, we'll talk about that on Wednesday. All the water in the world, however hard it tried, could never sink a ship unless it got inside. Let's keep the world out there and let not come within. That's separation to, separation from, and you notice I'm tearing a lot of pages. Separation for. When the Lord saved us, He saved us for a purpose. Psalm 139. Again, this doesn't read the same in all Bibles, but I would suggest that you read it in the New American Standard and in the New King James. Psalm 139. Verse 3. Verse 15. And please check this when you go home. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, and that's not evolution. Thine eyes did see my substance, being yet unformed, and in thy book all my days were written. When we were conceived, God had written down in His book what He expected of us. Jeremiah chapter 1. Separation 4. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Read verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the womb, I knew you. How's that? How's that, folks? The Lord said He knew me before I was formed in the womb. Before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. I ordained thee to be a prophet. That was true of Jeremiah. Read it in Galatians chapter 1. You find it is true of Paul. And it's true of everyone here. Before we were conceived, God had written down what His program for us was. I wonder if we're in that program. I wonder if in His book, on the 10th day of January 1999, God's book says that we should all be here. I wonder. Are we in the place that God wants us to be? Separated for. Separated for a purpose. What am I doing for God? When he saved me from, he saved me to, but he also saved me to do something. I wonder if I'm doing what the Lord separated me for. Judges chapter 13. All right, I'm 3 minutes over. I'll return it to on Wednesday evening. Judges chapter 13, verse 5. Lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, speaking to the mother of Samson. No razor shall come on his head. The child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. That was God's purpose for him even before he was conceived. I wonder if, pardon me, if that purpose was accomplished. Chapter 16, please. Verse 23. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god and to rejoice. For they said, our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. Now I'm not going to read the rest of it. But we just read, God's plan for him was that he should deliver Israel. Did he do it? You can ask for yourself. And yet, we don't need to be too critical. Because in Hebrews, Samson is listed as one of the heroes of faith. Yet to read this, he didn't deliver Israel. He might have started. I don't know, did he even start it? Do you know what the weakness of Samson's life was? Chapter 14. His weakness and the weakness that besets every one of us, especially in this day when we are told you are independent and you need to exert yourself and do what you feel like doing and that sort of thing. You know what Samson's problem was? Chapter 14, verse 1, Samson went down to Timnath, saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. He came up, told his father and mother, and said, I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. His father and his mother said, is there no woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? This was the downfall of Samson all through his life. Samson said to his father, get her for me. She pleases me well. Ego. Psychiatrists call it superego. And beloved, that's what will get the child of God in trouble. That's what will keep the child of God from serving the way God intended for him to serve. Separation to, separation from, separation for. Remember Daniel in Daniel chapter 1? I like that chapter. You remember he was taken with several others. He wasn't the only Israelite taken in captivity. There were a lot of them. And Daniel and his three friends. We don't want to eat what you're serving. God has told us we mustn't eat that food. So give us a little of the food that we eat. And the man in charge was a little afraid. He said, but you all may not come out so good. Daniel said, you try it for 10 days. Now you know the story, don't you? And then they went to school. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, 1, 2, 3, 4 on the examination, final examination. They followed God. They lived for God. They lived in separation from the world around. Beloved, and especially young people, if you want success under the hand of God, live in separation. Now, they'll laugh at you, of course. They'll make fun of you. I have told you this, but I remember very well. We used to have these scientific meetings, and before the meeting, they would always serve what they call collation. The meeting is scheduled for 8, and collation begins at 7 or 7:15, and they would drink until 8. And Arthur Garns usually came at 5 to 8. Here comes Garns. He only drinks water. What's wrong? What's wrong with only drinking water? They may laugh at you. They may tease you. They'll make fun of you. But maintain your separation. Then you remember those three Hebrew men. They were not boys. All right, I only have 8 minutes already. Daniel chapter 3. Beloved, we are told in Romans that God has put these things in His book so that we may learn and profit thereby. And if ever there was a time that we need to learn and profit from the Word of God and those outstanding men and women of God, it's today. Daniel chapter 3, you know. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold. When you hear the sound of the cornet and so forth, fall down and worship the golden image. There are certain Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have not regarded thee, O king. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image. Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, commanded to bring them. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do you not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, verse 15, if you be ready at the time you hear the sound of the cornet. You notice the number of instruments. Have you ever listened to some of this so-called contemporary music? I don't know why they need so many instruments. And they don't make music, they make racket and noise. And Nebuchadnezzar did the same thing, you know. All these instruments. Now, if you be ready, when you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? My. What defiance! And you have the same thing in the world today. Men defying God. Standing up. Raising their hands to God. If He's there, let Him do so soon. Not realizing that God is long-suffering. Not willing that any should perish. But I like verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. In other words, we're not going to talk with tongue in cheek. We're going to tell you plain. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will. But if not, we still aren't going to serve your gods. That's stamina. That's the way young folks to stand up in the midst of the ungodly. Come and have a drink. You don't smoke? No, I don't smoke. Well, try it. No. That's stamina. Virility. Manhood. Womanhood. Just stand up for the truth. Separated from. Now, you know the rest of the story. And I want to tell you, it is my firm conviction if you read to the end of the chapter, that I am going to see Nebuchadnezzar in heaven. You may not agree, but I'm satisfied that he's going to be there. The testimony and stamina of these three boys, they threw them in. Not even their hair was singed. The clothes wasn't burned. This is remarkable. Separation from. I must stop. Let me read something for you. He couldn't speak a word before a crowd. He couldn't teach a class. But when he came to Sunday school, he brought the folks en masse. Brought a lot of people. He couldn't sing to save his life. In public, he couldn't pray. But always his jalopy was crowded each Lord's Day. And though he couldn't sing or teach, nor even lead in prayer, he listened well, he had a smile, and he was always there. With all the others whom he brought, who lived both near and far, and God's work was greatly prospered, for he had it. Consecrated God. What are you doing with what you have? Holy Father, we bow in thy presence and give thee thanks for who thou art. We give thee thanks for this day that thou hast spared our lives and permitted us to come together, first to remember the Lord and to praise and glorify him and to worship thee, our Father, for that which thou hast done for us. Thou hast sent thy